The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
An interesting survey caught our eye in recent days. It looks at the mental health effect of lockdown, in particular for those working from home. Mental Health First Aid Ireland asked more than 1,000 people and found that 40% reported loss of sleep due to worry. 50% said they experienced more fatigue than usual. So how do you handle or get a handle on your sleep patterns when everything around you is in flux? Perhaps you need a sleep technician. Well, if you do, we have the perfect one with us. Deirdre McSwinney joins us now. Good evening to you, Deirdre. Thank you for your time. I have to declare my interest as a man who got up at 3:15 for 20 years his living. Sleep became an obsessively... Absolutely. Obsession.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, you were working against your body there to a certain degree, Mark. But anyway, go on.
But the thing, the one thing I did discover, the one little piece of information I can pass on, and you can possibly explain the science of this, was that bad and all and hard and all as it was on my system, once I established a routine and stuck to it, it was manageable. But once I messed with that routine, it was hell. It was like the worst jet lag, stroke, hangover you'd ever had in your life.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. And you've hit the nail on the head, Mark, actually, because it is about a certain degree of routine. But we've to put this in context as well, because let's face it, COVID hit us like nothing else, actually. And, you know, the initial stages of it were, if you like, had given rise to a lot of catastrophic thinking with people. Mm-hmm. Everybody was worried. Everybody was bothered. And I mean, people even reported, notwithstanding what was in the report you've just quoted from, but people would, you know, report that even that anxiety level in a household had seeped into their children, even worrying about getting it, or granny getting it, or parents getting it. So, you know, there was a low level of anxiety in the population anyway. Coupled with the fact that so many people's work-life balance thing was totally upside down.
Well, we didn't have to get up early in the morning to go to school or to go to work. We could stay up a bit later, and those who were
commute,
and those who were working at home were effectively setting their own hours. So let's face it, you know, if you can set your own hours and you can start your work at 10 o'clock instead of at 8 or 9 o'clock, and work a little later in the evening, grand, fine. The only thing is that what actually happened was that people ended up working more rather than less.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And what was really lovely, actually, in the initial part of that report was that so many of the replies to that survey had actually said, you know, 3/4 felt actually that their employers trusted them, which was a lovely sensation. And that 53%, I think, agreed that they felt valued by their employer. So at least people had a happy landscape in facing into working from home. Mm. But the next difficulty is managing children at home, because with creches closed, with schools closed, that added to a new change also. And I mean, there are some funny ads out there, as you saw even on the box, of, you know, people bobbing a young infant on the knee while attending to a very important Zoom call internationally, etc. And we've all had to do it. But there is the major thing in behind that, and that is one of our body actually does crave regularity and routine to a certain degree. And I was very interested in reading this to see that so many people did admit to feeling more fatigued and tireder. And, you know, poor sleep and increased fatigue emerged as one of those concerning findings in there. And as you said at the outset in the intro, I mean, the wonder is why we were so fatigued, actually, because the commute, for example, was lifted out of that equation. The earlier starts possibly was lifted out of that equation. But it's all because everything is a struggle. And one of the key things in my particular line of business in cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia is that it asks you to consider that any change in our lives is potentially classified as stressful at the beginning.
Deirdre,
and that has its own impact.
One of the other interesting stats that came out of this was is that Yeah, no, we weren't commuting. We weren't getting up as early as we were, but we were working longer. And on average, we were working 8 to 10 hours a week longer, which is effectively an extra day, which means that even though it didn't feel like it and we were at home, we were effectively working 6 days a week or the equivalent of it.
Yep.
So, of course, we're going to be tired.
Well, of course, you're going to be tired, true, because you're managing some period, say, in the middle of the day that young children had to be attended to. And you know that you hadn't got something immediately pending work-wise. And I'm putting that in inverted commas for you. So you knew in the later part of the evening you could do your catch-up routine then when you got a bit of peace when kids were in bed or whatever. So it was a case that the working day had spread itself out much more, you know, but... Going back to the really the well-being index, which you know was in behind this study. I mean, it's only five minor points, Mark. If I can flash through them,
and
one is, you know, being cheerful and in good spirits. Well, I mean, I didn't actually hear of or meet that many people who were in cheerful and good spirit form, even though they knew what was ahead of them. Feeling calm and relaxed, or feeling active and vigorous, or woke up feeling refreshed and rested. And I mean, that clearly was not a case for some people, because as the survey also tipped into, people were staying up a little bit later and dipping into the alcohol, because there was that bit of leeway there, if you like, as well.
And that will disrupt your sleep pattern, of course, because you get dehydrated.
Totally. And I mean, it's, believe it or not, alcohol is absorbed into our system quite quickly. So the two major things that about alcohol that fragment your sleep and therefore damage it to a certain degree is A, you'll waken up feeling thirsty, and B, you'll need to use the bathroom more often.
OK, just as a matter of interest, how, you know, we keep talking about sleep as if it's something that, you know, it's entirely up to us and we control it. But we have to sleep on something. It has to be comfortable. And the comfort of the bed that we sleep on or in is very important. How do we know what we actually need? Maybe we're doing everything else right, but we're actually sleeping on the wrong thing.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, mattresses and pillows are actually, you know, a personal choice issue. I'm much more interested in what I call the sleep hygiene element, which is that the bedroom should be completely clear of all the accessories of living. In other words, the screens, and that means the handheld screens, actually, Mark, you know, the mobile phone, which may be needed, all right, certainly to set an alarm, but make sure it's out of reach and that there's no clock watching or time checking if one is awake during
and
the night.
And face down, so there's as little of that blue light escaping as is humanly possible.
Oh, totally. In fact, you know, for people who have a little bit of sleep difficulties, even in this context, I actually ask them to have at least an hour to an hour and a half being screen free in the evenings, with the exception of TV in the living room.
Deirdre, you have a few tips here on how to mind your sleep. It comes from Aware, but in terms of people now getting back to some form of normality, it's very important.
Yes.
We talked about the routine. Set the alarm clock every morning. Do that 7 days a week. Get up at this time. Open the curtains. Allow the light to send a signal to your body that it's morning.
Sure.
And you also say get dressed, or it says get dressed. Why is that?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's facing into the day. Can I just say, pulling back the curtains and getting up the 7 days a week at the same time, no matter how bad your sleep was on a particular night, you still must get up at the same time every morning. Because this business, again, of lying in or having the luxury of sort of pushing that snooze button, which I think was the worst invention ever, you know, for another 20 minutes, half an hour, is not good for you. Facing into morning light is what gives that deep trigger into the brain that your sleep-wake cycle is to be pivoting correctly.
Okay, and of course, the getting dressed sends a signal to the brain and the mind that putting on the suit of armour, you're getting ready to face the day, you're getting ready
to
go and do whatever kind of battle it is you do in your life. Exercise.
Correct.
So look, we can't stress the importance of exercise, but a lot of people would have been robbed of their exercise routines because they didn't have access to their sport, they didn't have access to their gym. You know, walking is all well and good, but it's not necessarily, you know, either suitable or indeed liked by a lot of people. I walked an awful lot, but I found I walk an awful lot in the gym on a treadmill. That's a cushioned surface. Whereas when I got out and walked on the roads, I found it really, really hard on my knees and my hips because it was on concrete.
Okay, Okay, well, simple one, find a grassy walk for yourself in a local park or whatever is the obvious thing to that. But the exercise thing, a lot of people were on various Zoom channels accessing people for Pilates or yoga or some exercise regimes that seemed to suit them. I mean, quite honestly, exercising the upper body with a can of beans in each arm, for example, in each hand, is quite an easy one to do for simply 10 minutes at a time. Caution on the exercise, Mark, just not too close to bedtime ever.
No, do it earlier on in the day.
Yes, of course, of course. And of course, the preference is, and you were doing the right thing possibly, is exercise out in daylight is the
Okay.
absolute
Now,
perfection.
you stress absolutely no daytime naps.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah.
Okay.
What you're doing is just simply eating into your complement of nighttime sleep that you deserve only when the sky is dark.
Right. Well, you can obviously see why something like that would have a bearing on whether you went to sleep at the right time. Later on, I don't know about robbing or creating a sleep debt or robbing from your sleep, but I'm assuming that if you do go for a kip in the afternoon, then you're not going to feel like going to bed at 10 or 11 or your usual time, and you'll struggle to do that. And then the cycle of
That you're onto a new treadmill, the
yeah.
type, No, I'd also like you to stress the difference, Mark, between feeling tired, worn out, fatigued. Even, I mean, the new term they use in sleep medicine is now called tired but wired, where people are going to bed absolutely buzzing almost, but they just can't settle into sleep. No, there's a big difference between feeling tired and overwhelmed with fatigue and feeling sleepy, and one should only take oneself off to bed when you're in a truly sleepy state. That will drive you off to sleep within the 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, keeping in touch, we've touched on that already. Very important to stay connected to friends and family. Now, here's one. Because so many people's, I suppose, thinking and brain patterns and mood was affected by the information that they were taking in. We had day after day of rising deaths, and we were kind of wondering, well, when is it going to touch somebody I know? When is it going to touch somebody I love? Living on that. Of course, that's going to worry people. But also, apart from getting it from trusted sources, people were getting it from a lot of not so trustworthy sources. And you say
True.
that if you're going to take the information in, and for peace of mind's sake, a trusted source is absolutely vital and will feed into better sleep habits.
Yes,
Why?
absolutely. Well, I mean, the obvious reason, I have to say, the mental health arena is not one of my expert fora at all, Mark, except to say that we know the impact of different mental health disorders, including the onset of depression and or anxiety, can be related to sleep issues. Or sleep is one of the first things to suffer with the onset of that.
Misinformation will feed anxiety, and if you're anxious, you're not going to sleep well.
Absolutely. And I do want to say that coping with anxiety is actually exhausting.
Okay.
It's another layer in there of your day being tiresome and troublesome.
Right. Here's one. There are others here as well, and people can go to the Aware website and get these tips. But here's one. The very last one says, don't spend long periods in bed awake. If you're awake for 20 minutes or longer and your mind is very active, get up, go and do something else until you feel sleepy, and then go back to bed. Don't fight it and, roll around in the bed and toss
That's
and
right.
turn.
That's
Apart from
right.
anything else, you wake up the person beside you, and probably they won't be in a very good humour, and you
No, I absolutely love
that'll
this.
add
This
to your
is based.
stress.
No, but this is based around a concept in psychology called stimulus control. You have to stop getting yourself distressed, annoyed, frustrated, irritated, all those things that fall in on top of us. High level emotion, actually, when you think about it, that if you can't sleep, you are thrashing around a bit. So you stop that, and what's good about stopping it after the 10, 15, 20 minutes where you can't sleep and you take yourself off into the living room, Mark, not just into humping into the spare room and thinking there's another bed spare for you in there. You come into the living room because it's the determination of the difference between the living space and the sleeping space. And in the living room, I often say to people, they often say to me, oh my God, I better not finish off the Crossair crossword. That's much too intellectually challenging for me. I'm sorry, that's exactly what you do because you're awake. You're facing up to the fact that you're awake, and you only go back to bed bed when you feel sleepy again.
Okay.
So sometimes people have to stay up, you know, for much longer than they assume. They think it's just slip downstairs, make a glass of hot milk, drink that downstairs and take myself off to bed. No, you have to wait again for the sleepy signal to come on you before you take yourself under the duvet.
Okay, Deirdre McSwinney, sleep technician and cognitive therapist at the Mater. Thank you very much for that. And by the way, if you are struggling with anxiety or depression, contact Aware on 1800 80 48 48. That's 1800 80 48 48. The website is aware.ie. Now, I know that sleep apnea is one of the major causes of broken sleep for a lot of people, but sleep apnea is a medical condition, and that is something that you need to go and talk to your doctor about and get specific advice for what form of it you're going through and how it is affecting you. Not really something that we could deal with here. These are sort of bits and pieces of advice for people who've you know, gone through the general malaise of COVID and, you know, been affected by the anxiety, disrupted patterns, our life and our routines being turned upside down. So hopefully that was of some use to you.